Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host the show. And today we're going to talk about a subject that I really like to talk about because there's a lot of explanation that needs to be done about it. And the two ladies that are my guests, Tina and Tilly, are probably pretty good at it since they wrote a book called A Book of Insight, and it's been channeled from the Ouija board. So, ladies, welcome to the show.
Hi, Nancy. Thanks for having us on your show today. We're excited to be here.
Great.
Thanks, Nancy.
You're both very welcome. Now, see, I gave this short intro, but what I'd like for the two of you to do individually, and I don't care who goes first, kind of explain who each of you are and what prompted you to start using the Ouija board, and then we'll go into details about your book and the Ouija board both.
Okay, this is Tina, and I'll go first because I'm the older sister. My experiences started when I was very young, early childhood. And these kind of experiences included out-of-body experiences and invisible friends. And when I was a child, I didn't think anything differently of them. I thought it was normal. But, of course, as I got older and I had other types of experiences, visitations, I began to realize that this isn't the sort of thing that happens to most people in the three-dimensional world. And as I got older, about 12 and a half, 13, we moved across country and lived with our grandparents for about 2 years, our family, and there was a Ouija board there. And I had no idea what a Ouija board was, first time I'd ever seen it. But I read the instructions that came with it and realized what it was. And once Tilly got older, we started playing around with it, as all teenagers do. And that's where our experiences with the Ouija board started. And Tilly had similar experiences growing up.
Yeah, this is Tilly. My experiences were very similar. I would also see spirit beings, nature spirits, things that at the time seemed very natural and normal to me, but as I grew older, I realized that not everyone had these experiences. And so Tina and I became interested in the metaphysical world at a very early age. We didn't understand at that time what it was, though. And it wasn't until we started experimenting with the Ouija board as we got a little older in our teen years that we started delving a little more into this. And we started in our teen years, and in the beginning of experimenting with the board, we didn't have that much contact. There wasn't any real movement. And but shortly afterwards, we persisted, and shortly afterwards, we started to make contact. And in particular, we made contact with three spiritual beings who referred to themselves as Melanie, M, and Demna. And they told us that they were our spirit guides. And over time, we began to develop a relationship with them through the board, and we would ask them many, many questions. And as we continued with this relationship, our questions became much more spiritual. And it was in the year 2004 that we sat down, we were having one of our sessions, and our guides came through and started to deliver material to us on meditation. And at the end of this particular session, they said to us, "This is the beginning of chapter one of your book." And this was really a surprise to us because neither Tina nor myself had given any thought to writing a book. You know, neither one of us considers ourselves writers, so this was the furthest thing from our minds. But so much so, actually, that we didn't take it seriously and we didn't follow up on it until 3 years later. And at that point, once we decided to follow up on it, our guides came through and just took off right where they left off previously. And at that point, they told us this book is to be titled A Book of Insight. It will contain 16 chapters. Chapter 1 is on meditation. And that is the extent of the information they would give us. We asked them, what is this book going to be about? What's the material within the book? What's the subject matter? And they wouldn't give us any information. So that's sort of how our story began, the story of A Book of Insight began.
Okay. I have a couple questions. When I had talked to you guys originally, or I spoke to one of you, I said, you know, that I had my concerns about Ouija boards. because they're not just a game, and people will buy them for their young children as a game, not knowing what it can or can't do or what really is involved. Would you both agree with that?
I would definitely agree, yes. And, you know, Ouija boards are sold in toy stores, and as you said, they're not a game. And it's kind of unfortunate that they're sold to children, young children, because this is something, this is a communication tool, and this is something that you would use as a tool if you have experience in the metaphysical realm and in metaphysical studies, people like psychics and mediums who understand what they're dealing with. Are people who would use a Ouija board as a communication tool, just as they would use crystal balls, tarot cards, rune stones. So it's something that you, like you said, it's not a toy. We don't recommend that everyone just go out and use it not knowing what they're doing.
And I believe that if they were sold in metaphysical stores instead of toy stores, we probably wouldn't be hearing all these horror stories about these experiences that people are having with them, because a lot of these people start using Ouija board having no idea what they're getting themselves into, whereas people who are immersed in the spiritual realm know about protection, meditation, and white lighting themselves before they engage in these practices. So it really makes a difference.
Would it be safe to say that if they're going to be sold any place, whether it's a toy store, a metaphysical store, that there should be a huge set of directions stating, you know, some of the things that should and should not be done? I mean, a lot of teenage girls, for example, will get a Ouija board and start working on it and, you know, start asking questions without any kind of protection, without knowing what they're doing, and open a lot of venues, let's call it, that can't really get closed by them, which could create a lot of problems for them. Is that also not true?
That's true. That's definitely a possibility. Now, having said that, Tina and myself started using the Ouija board in our teen years as well, and quite innocently. We didn't know anything about the board. And our experiences have been very, very positive. They've really been of benefit to us and very enlightening. But when Tina and I work with the board, we always meditate beforehand. We always say a prayer of protection, and we surround ourselves with an imaginary white light. And the most important thing when working with the Ouija board or any divination tool is your intent. So as you said, oftentimes you'll hear stories of teenage girls who pull out the Ouija board and it's just a game, and they're just inviting anyone to come through.
Mm.
And if they do have a bad experience, they then blame the Ouija board. I personally think the Ouija board has really gotten a bad rap. The board itself is just a piece of wood and a pointer or a planchette. But it's the intention when using the board that is very important. It's the people using the board and what it is that they're trying to do with the board that makes the difference.
And further to what Tilde is saying, I'd like to also add that it's like making a telephone call. If you make a random telephone call and you choose a random number, you don't know who's going to pick up the phone at the other end. It could be a nice person. It could be an angry, nasty person. But if you have intent and you know exactly who you're going to phone, like today you phoned us because you had the intent of phoning us, and that's who you got on the other line, that's what's going to happen to the people. So that's why intent is very important. And, again, like Tilde said, it's a piece of wood with a pointer, but it's the person that is the conduit. And if we think about it, humans, I think we're comprised of 75% or more of water, and water is a conductor. And from what I've researched, our bones have got crystalline substance within them, so, and crystal is a conductor, too. So the human body, the human being, is a receiver and transmitter of information. And the board is a tool that facilitates this communication. Now, because Tilde and I are doing this together, when we connect with the board, I think we complete our circle of energy and our tuning abilities. And so the board is what works best for us. So it's very important to remember that it's the human that is attracting the energy, and not the piece of wood, the board. So that's why it's important that we meditate, we say a prayer, and we surround ourselves with white light, and we have clear intention.
Now, you guys found the board. It was your grandmother's? Is that what was said in your story?
Okay. It was at our grandparents' place. Our aunt lived with us at the time, and it belonged to her. And I ended up adopting the board. And once Tildy got older, we started playing with it.
So you guys really did not give any kind of guidance or was given any kind of guidance before you started playing with it. So the first time you started playing with it, what happened?
Well, the first time it wouldn't move, it barely moved, and we persisted, and over time it became easier to play with the board, and the planchette moved easier. We were connecting with people or entities of the other side. We had one experience early on where an entity came through and started cursing. And it was at that point that we realized, wait a minute, there is something more to this than meets the eye. And because that entity came through and started cursing, we learned at a very early age that we needed to respect what we were doing. And it was at that point that we started saying the prayer of protection. So we were actually quite fortunate in that way that we didn't have a major negative experience. We had a minor negative experience, but it was enough to teach us how to do it properly. And I think you're correct. It should come with a caveat emptor or a set of directions that are more detailed as to respecting the board, how to utilize it properly in order to get a positive experience from it.
I think that's real important. Do you think it's important if people are going to work with the Ouija board that they work with somebody else, or is it okay if they are constantly doing it alone?
It doesn't seem to work for us if we do it alone. We need that second or third or fourth person to complete the circuit. It's like having an AC/DC circuit, and when we come together, it completes the circuit and causes it to work.
Yeah, and that's just our particular experience. It may be that some people are able to work with the board on their own. So it's up to the individual people using the board.
So when you started doing the Book of Insights, your first chapter was called Meditation, and then you guys kind of did a little bit more. How long did it totally take you to do the entire book?
Well, once we really got down to it, in the beginning we had, our sessions were very sporadic, but once we really got down to it and did it probably 5 or 6 nights a week, then we found that it took about 3 months in total, maybe just a little over 3 months.
Okay, now
and I would wear a mic, and after we transcribed every session, after we did every session, Tildy would transcribe it, so it flowed a lot quicker that way. We didn't actually write everything down. We recorded it.
Okay. Now, there was a beep, so I don't know if that's a call coming in from the radio, so let me just ask, is there a caller on the line?
Yes, there is.
Okay, can I have your name, please, and the question you might have to ask?
My name is Janet. And my question is that, it's funny because I had a dream and it was like kind of really disturbed me, but I was I'm just wondering if there's, a reason why there is so much frustration around me right now.
Okay. Well, first let me just answer that for you real quick, but then I will tell you for the rest of the listeners, we're not going to take questions like that because we're really going to talk about the Ouija board. But there's probably a lot of frustrations around your light right now, just like most people, because the energy shift that's coming through here is a very hard energy shift. And the more people get frustrated and concerned and worried, the harder that shift is to make it through. So if you could relax, do some meditation, ask really what's going on with yourself through meditation, you'd probably get some really good answers for yourself. Okay?
Well, a lot of it is within the work environment, and I'm starting to question myself. Is it me that's causing the frustration to go on, or is it really just them playing favoritism and they're causing? Do you know what I'm saying?
It's probably a little bit of both, but again, the energy, everybody's trying to cover their own butt in today's world because they're afraid of the economy and losing their jobs, so it's probably all the above. So, again, if you try to relax and breathe through it and go into meditation when you can, you'll probably come up with some really good answers for yourself. All right?
Okay. Well, do you see me staying in this environment?
Ma'am, I'm actually trying to do an interview, not answer a bunch of
questions.
And I'm
I'm sorry.
Okay. So good luck.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh, you're welcome. Okay, we'll go back to the Ouija board. When you started, getting your information, now a Ouija board, for people who don't know how it works, it usually shows one letter at a time. Is that true?
Yes, it's true. For us, because we've been doing it for so many years, it's a combination of spelling and channeling at the same time, because we've gotten to a point where we're actually receiving the information psychically as well as receiving it through the board as it's spelling it. So for us, it's very quick.
Okay, which is really good for doing a book, because otherwise, I think, it would take a long, long time.
It could be a very long time, yes.
You know, so that's right. Now, the first person, the first entity, guide, whatever you might like to call her, that came through was Melanie.
Mm-hmm.
And she started it, basically, and then the others joined. But during your book, and again, the book is called The Book of Insights, Wisdom from the Other Side. And during this book, you talked a lot about the channeling or the information that you actually got from Melanie. And you asked several questions of her throughout your book. Did some of the questions kind of bother you with the answers, or were you guys just really open for anything and everything to come through?
I think it was a little of both. We were really open just because we had no idea what they were going to deliver. So we had no choice other than to just be open and let it come through. There may have been things that were a little hard to stomach at first. For me personally, they talk a little bit about the purpose of animals on the planet, and they got a little bit into diet and the importance of that. And I personally prefer a vegetarian diet, and they did say that a side of eating red meat, a little bit of meat, was okay for you. So I personally would have preferred that they talked about a vegetarian diet, but that's just me personally.
Yeah.
What else? There were things they talked about. Hell, there's a chapter on hell, there's a chapter on heaven. And when they talked about the chapter on hell, there were they talked about how hell is basically an illusion, and people that, you know, are living here today or in the past, people that we might consider evil, Hitler being an example of one such person, what they explained to us is that within each and every one of us is contained a spark of the divine source. You know, we are all fragments of God or fragments of the source. And that upon death, we are not damned to this place called hell. The source is all love, all light, and would not damn us to this place called hell. And I guess at first that was a little difficult for us to follow, because just, you know, being humans and having that, that sort of that feeling of wanting retribution or wanting people to pay for their negative deeds, we believed that someone like that would be paying for their negative deeds. And so it was hard for us to believe that even a soul such as Hitler is actually at his core a very divine soul, and there's a much bigger picture than that which we realize.
Do you think that there is a lot of people out in the world today that are starting to wake up and realize that there's more to it than just your five senses that we experience or that we're taught to experience?
Yes, and that is part of the reason why we were given this book, was to help the awakening soul and to guide them through their awakening. There is an awakening that is happening on our planet right now, and a lot of us are awakening. A lot of us are noticing it. We're awakening not only spiritually, but to the greater reality that exists. And it's going forward, and it's not going to stop. It's like a snowball that rolls downhill, gains momentum, and grows bigger as it continues to roll. There is definitely an awakening, and there are many books coming out. There are many messengers coming forth today. And our guides tell us it is because of this awakening. It is in our DNA to awaken spiritually, and we are just fulfilling part of our evolution and our heritage mm-hmm. as human beings yeah. and spiritual beings.
There's something... Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say something that you mentioned a little earlier to our caller was meditation and the importance of meditation. And that's something our guides really stress throughout the book. And meditation, they tell us, is the one most important thing that we can do for our spiritual development and our awakening. And it's also really important because it does help us to hone our intuitive skills, because we are all spiritual beings. So, you know, before we come here as physical beings, we are spiritual beings, and we are all naturally psychic beings. But because we don't practice this skill set, we often lose it. Many people lose it and don't realize that it's just a natural part of who we are. And meditation plays a very, very important role in helping us to redevelop those skills as well. And the development of those skills also leads to the development of the opening of our third eye, which in turn leads to the development of our awakening as well. So they all go hand in hand.
There's a lot of talk now about DNA and changes and all of that kind of stuff. A lot of people still don't understand the DNA and the changes that are coming, but you talked about that a little bit in your book. Can you explain that about the DNA changes?
Yes, absolutely. Well, first of all, what I'd like to say is, you know, we've all heard the scientists talk about our junk DNA. And what's important to know is that God or the source does not make mistakes. There is no junk DNA. This is simply DNA that has not yet been activated. And our guides compared our DNA to the blueprint of a house. And if you change the structure of the house and add a room, for instance, your blueprint of that house will change. And therefore, as we change as human beings and as we continue to evolve and grow spiritually, our DNA will change and activate to reflect the changes within ourselves. So we are not fully awakened yet, and we are not have not fully realized the extent of our divinity and our power and our energy. And we will continue to awaken, and as we continue to awaken, our DNA will continue to activate. And we are going to reach a place in our evolution where we will be able to do and see and hear things on a psychic level that we did not even imagine today. Our future is definitely bright, but having said that, we have free will, and it is up to us to activate. And Tildy and I decided to activate ourselves as we went forward in life. And when we were given this book, we decided to go with it, and we've become students of the book. And so our journey, really, we thought we were on a spiritual journey, but after we were given a book of insight, we realized that we have a long way to go, and we're looking forward to the future and to the activation of our DNA and to the activation of the DNA of mankind.
What do you think about these young children that are here that are super, super sensitive, very psychically involved, but they are being labeled like with ADD, ADHD, problem children, things like that? What about that?
Well, what I believe is that these children are coming here with gifts. And knowing what I went through as a child, I got bored easily in school. And we have to look at these children differently. And it could possibly be that they're getting bored easily because they are so evolved and advanced. And we really need to be able to stimulate their curiosity in different ways. You know, you cannot teach children today the same way you taught them in the last generation, because the human is evolving. And these children are our future. And we shouldn't be drugging them. We shouldn't be drugging them at all, because we are limiting their potential when we drug them. We need to foster their abilities and realize that we need to engage them without boring them into submission.
Or drugging them into submission.
Yes. We need to foster their growth and abilities is what we need to do, and we need to understand them.
See, it's very important, because I moved to New Mexico for that purpose. It was to come to New Mexico, find land, funding, Build the School of Now, which is a project of my 501c3 called the Child's Miracle Mind, Inc., and it would be a drug-free school with using drugs at the very, very last alternative, and helping them with their spiritual growth and also their psychic growth and all the other things that the schools are not giving to these children that they really need in order to survive.
Wow, that's wonderful. And, you know, good for you for doing that. I really wish that we had something like that when we were children.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that's very, very much needed today. And good on you for facilitating that. That's so important.
And one thing I'd like to add to what Tilda's saying here is that meditation is important for children as well. To start that at an early age, not just wait till we become adults, because meditation should become something that we grow up with.
And I agree. You know, and unfortunately, a lot of people still, it's not that they don't know how to meditate, because they do. They just get there, but then they let their mind run wild with all different kinds of things and don't quite, mm-hmm. quite know how to quiet it. I do have another question about 2012. Everybody is so concerned about 2012 and the world coming to an end. Now, we know that that's not true, but could you explain that?
Well, we did ask our guides about that because there is so much fear around that date. And, a couple of things. What our guides tell us is that, first of all, there is nothing to fear, that mankind did not evolve to this point only to be destroyed, and only to be destroyed specifically on this December 23rd, 2012 date. Hollywood tends to play a large role in this as well. They had that movie out not too long ago, and there was a lot of fear-mongering involved there. So really, there's nothing to fear. It's more just the end of one time and the beginning of a new time. Yes, 2012 is related to our awakening, but our guides tell us that this awakening has already begun, and it's something that I think most of us have noticed. And it's not something that is suddenly going to happen on a specific date. It's already happening, and we can see it just as an example, we're seeing more and more radio shows such as yours where we can discuss these types of topics. Whereas in the past, the not too distant past,
we would have been burned at the stake.
Yeah, we couldn't.
Or worse.
Yes, exactly. We couldn't talk about this subject matter, and now it's starting to actually become more mainstream, which is a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. And that's just another testament to the fact that people are starting to wake up, they're becoming more aware, and this is something that's becoming more mainstream to people rather than esoteric material.
Yeah, and I think also 2012 also refers to the galactic alignment, which is an astrological event, which also ties in with the awakening of the planet and the changing of the energies on the planet. So really, there is that event that's involved with 2012, but 2012 is also a symbolic date for those of us who are awakening spiritually.
It's
so there is no fear around 2012.
Right.
There's something definitely to look forward to.
It's really funny because as a child of 6 years old with a freak accident that I had guides coming to me telling me 2010, and showing
wow.
me a lot of different things. And so, but I was only six. I'm thinking, 2010 is a long time away. Okay, because I'm 61 right now, so how long ago that's been, over 50 years. And so at that time, it's okay, if you say so. And I just, listened to everything they told me, because they did give me a lot of good stuff. They did not let me get in any trouble. They stopped me from having people ridicule me and tell me that I was weird or crazy or strange and lock me away. So those are all good things. But they constantly gave me the year 2010. Things changed during 2010. So when people started talking about 2012, a couple years ago, I said, no, wrong, gang. It's really going to be some real good awakening starting 2010, leading up to 2012, 2013, and 2015. Mm-hmm. So just kind of get ready for it, that's all. And people are starting to see, just like you said, a lot of things are happening now. And it's a good thing, not a bad thing. Now, I do have another question for you. One of your chapters in your book is called Love. I have this strange thing about love where people have kind of basically forgot how to love one another, let alone themselves. So could you tell us what your guides told us about love?
Well, unconditional love is what we attain to achieve. That's all part of our awakening, because we were made from unconditional love. The source, which we are all fragments of, is unconditional love. And as we awaken, we will start to grow towards unconditional love, because that is meant to be our natural state. Now, yes, you mentioned that a lot of people have sort of lost that. We tend to look at each other with fear. There's so much paranoia in the world today. And, you know, that's something I always say, that I think it's important for us to take a break from television, for one thing. We have, you know, I know so many people who are just addicted to watching the news, and I find that just that alone really helps to set the stage for fear and paranoia. And we're afraid of our neighbors. We're afraid to walk down the street and smile at a person coming towards us or to say hello. I mean, it's just incredible that we've gotten to this point. And I think a lot of it is just because we've been programmed to think that way. We've mm-hmm. been programmed to think that the world is a horrible place, it's a fearful place. And really, the world is such a beautiful, amazing place, and we are all such beautiful, amazing, divine beings, and we have to remember that. And once we start to remember that and understand that, we can let go of the fear and paranoia mm-hmm. and start to grow back towards love.
And adding to what Tilde's saying, you know, our guides tell us that the source gave birth to everything that exists out of love. And the source not only loved itself, but the source loves all of us and everything that it has created. And what we need to remember, too, is that love starts from within. And what our guides want us to remember is that we must love ourselves as we would love our own precious children, because we are someone's precious child. And that's one thing that's very important, is because if you don't love yourself, if you don't learn to love yourself, then how can you learn to love others? Because we're always looking to others to validate ourselves. But if we can start with ourselves and validate ourselves and love ourselves, then we can take that love from our hearts and emanate it towards everybody else on this planet. And that's important. Love is the ultimate reason why we're here, to learn and to grow towards unconditional love, towards not only ourselves, but everyone and everything in existence.
Which I totally believe, as one of my friends would say, this is truly an inside job, folks, not an outside looking in.
I like that. Yeah, that's perfect.
It was very perfect. Now, a lot of people have a problem with thinking that it's okay to be happy, it's okay to have a great love life, it's okay to have money. So part of your chapter was called Magnetism, the Law of Attraction. Can you explain why all of those things are really okay?
Well, they're really all okay, because what we're told is that we are all here on a journey of self-discovery. We are all here to just experience reality. And what is it that you want to experience? I mean, we have a choice. We can decide what that is. And sometimes we'll have negative experiences, but out of those negative experiences, there's also learning. There's always something positive. Now, going back to money and happiness, I don't know where that originated or why that is, but, you know, we talk about money, and what our guides say to us, money is neutral. It's just another avenue of experience. Do you want to experience a life of poverty? Do you want to experience a life of wealth? There's nothing negative or positive in either of those. They're just experiences. Mm-hmm. And it's not the money that is negative anyway, but it's how people utilize that money. Money can be used for good. Money can be used to feed people, to clothe people, to build hospitals, you know, to educate people. Or money can be used in a very negative, evil way, too. So just remember, money is neutral. There is nothing at all wrong with having money. It's how you use it. It's what you do with it. And you can use it for much benefit, and you can use it to really help people. And that's a wonderful thing.
Well, also, in addition to what Tilde's saying about money being a neutral unit, is that, you know, our guides also say, do you notice how negative things always happen to negative people? It's because your thoughts have energy that is magnetic in nature, and your thoughts are attracting that negative its situation because your thoughts are negative, whereas positive people attract positive situations. So you can say the same thing about money. Do you notice that people who have an attitude that is negative towards money are usually the people who never have enough of it? And the people that have a positive, healthy attitude towards money are usually the people who it flows for without effort. So I think it's important to change our belief system, because it's our belief system and our thoughts that either attract or repel the situations into our lives. So if we can just take our thoughts and turn them around, we can take our reality and turn it around.
Which I think is real important. When I do my consultations, I always tell people, if you can just remember to worry positive instead of negative, you will create that kind of worry too. But we have this firm belief that you always are going to worry in a negative way, which is not true. And so I try to get people to understand that, change the word, change the thoughts. You might be really, really liking the results by doing that. Now, a part of your book also, which interests me a lot, is talk about aliens, UFOs, and other places. And you've said that they have come here to visit, is what your guides have told you. Mm-hmm. Can you go into that a little bit so that people understand a little bit more about the aliens, UFOs, and why they've been kept as a secret by most governments until lately?
Well, the interesting thing is that aliens have been here for a very long time. As a matter of fact, our guides tell us that we have had help in our evolution. And a lot of us, actually all of us, have alien within us. We have been manipulated. And it's not a negative thing, because look at our evolution and look at how far we've come. So those aliens that our government doesn't want to tell us about, a lot of those aliens are our brothers and sisters. We are related to them. But, you know, if we begin to have too much knowledge, then we can begin to have more freedom and more power, because we become powerful within ourselves. And our government does not want us to have knowledge, because then they won't be able to have the power that they currently have over us. And that's part of the reason why we are kept dumbed down. If you notice, schools are being shut down. You know, it's harder for people with limited incomes to have that higher education, and only certain elements of the population get that higher education. It's to keep the masses down. But really, we want everybody to know that these aliens that we consider alien, they're really not so alien, and they are our brothers and sisters. And once we continue towards our evolution and awaken spiritually and leave the warring and the negativity and the killing behind, once we get to that point, we will be welcomed into the galactic community with our brothers and sisters, because that is where we truly belong.
And I just wanted to mention that we use the term alien so often, and I heard someone use the term off-planet cultures, and that one really stuck with me, because that is basically what they are. From what I understand, they have human form just as we do, and some of them look exactly like us. We would not know the difference. So rather than call them alien, I like to refer to them as off-planet cultures. Mm-hmm. It's almost like other human beings just living in another country.
Mm-hmm. And they are among us.
Mm-hmm.
They are among us now. In fact, from what we've been researching, there are some that look just like us, and you can't even tell the difference. So they're here, and we're all related. We're all brothers and sisters. God created us all, and we all have the divinity of the spark of the source within us. So whether you want to refer to them as aliens or off-world cultures, they also carry the spark of the divine, just like we do.
Yeah. And one thing our guides also mentioned that I wanted to point out is that they talk quite a bit about reincarnation, and they tell us that we have not only reincarnated onto this current planet, but many of us have also reincarnated into these other physical forms onto other planets as well. So we've also experienced lifetimes in these other on these other off-planet culture bases. So we're a lot more intertwined than we may realize.
Do you think that at some point in time, very, very near future, that the governments that continue to try to hide and keep us basically as victims, that will all finally be shown and people will really start to understand it and then try to stop it?
I think so, because there are many governments around the world now that have released their private UFO files.
Even the Vatican has come out and said that if there are aliens out there or off-world cultures out there, that they are our brothers and sisters.
Yeah. So it seems that the U.S. seems to be one of the last holdouts. I know that Canada disclosed their files as well. Now, they haven't really gone and made it public knowledge. They don't put it into the mainstream media, but they have disclosed their files. And this is happening all over the world. So I think it's just a matter of time. And when you have all these other governments, the French government, Mexican government, so many, the U.S. is going to have to come to that point as well.
Well, the way I look at it is that there are so many of us that are having experiences with off-world cultures that have been aboard spaceships. There are so many of us on this planet that are aware of these off-world cultures that eventually the government is just going to have to catch up with the rest of us.
And I think that's coming very, very soon.
Mm-hmm. They're just going to have no choice because we are mostly aware that there is something out there.
Yeah, and they're making them. Yeah, they're making themselves known to us. I mean, we have things like the Norway spiral, and there was just recently one in Western Canada, I think, in the last few days. So they're making themselves known, and with the Internet now, it's all over the Internet. It's all over YouTube. You can't hide it. You know, they're not going to be able to hide it much longer.
Which is a good thing. Could one of you give out your website and tell people how to get your book and how to get in touch with you?
Yes, thank you. Our website is abookofinsight.com, and if you wanted to order a copy of the book through our site, all of the books ordered there are signed copies by me and Tina. And you can also go to amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com, and join us on YouTube, Book of Insight at YouTube, or come and find us on Facebook. We'd love to be your Facebook friend.
Part of your book talks about laughter and healing. What does laughter have to do, and even just smiling, have to do with your health?
It raises our vibrations. And when we're laughing, when we're in a good mood, our vibrations are raised. And this energy that's created by having a raised vibration washes throughout all the cellular structures within our body. And it's infectious. And our guides say, do you notice that whenever you walk into a room, let's say in a comedy place where everybody's laughing, you can feel the shift in the room, and you might start laughing too, even though you don't know what everybody's laughing about, because it is infectious, and it causes you to feel good. And because of this raised vibration that washes over your cells, it has the effect of healing. And that's something that's very important to recognize is that we should be laughing every day.
Yeah, and we all have a frequency range per se. And if you go into the lower frequencies or the lower vibrations, that's where you find ill health, that's where you find negativity, that's where you find negative emotions, hate, fear. Now, if we go up that frequency range, that's where we find joy, love, good health, happiness, all those wonderful things. So laughter, smiling, naturally exist within that higher frequency range. So as soon as you smile, I mean, you know, and anyone listening, put a smile on your face right now, and you'll feel how it automatically starts to change your mood.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing what smiling does for other people, too. I always try to make it a point of, you know, if I'm in the store and I'm up at the clerk, I'll always smile at the clerk. And it's amazing how that changes that person's mood as well. And once you've changed that person's mood, that person now goes on to change other people's moods in the same way. And it's really like a domino effect. And, yeah, I always say smile at people that you come across. It's such a simple thing to do, and it makes just a world of change.
It does, because it works really well. Children especially, when you hear a child laughing, you can't help but to feel good about that.
Doesn't it feel good? It just puts an automatic smile on your face when you hear a child laughing. It's joyous.
You know, so I mean, I used to tell everybody, as soon as your feet hit the floor, you put out this big laugh and you tell yourself it's a great day today. And just go in that pace. I do have another question for you guys. Talk about source. Now, and people's source could be different, at least by what they might call it. But where does source really come from, and when did it start?
Well, source has always been. Source has existed for an eternity. There is no beginning, and that is something that the human mind can't wrap its the human head can't wrap its mind around is the eternal value of source. But what our guides tell us is that in the beginning, as we would call the beginning, the source existed as a singularity, as one unit of loving, conscious self-awareness. And the source wanted to understand itself and all of what it could be. And in wanting to understand itself and having that first thought or that first question, it exploded forth into the answer. And we know that explosion as the Big Bang. And we are part of that answer. It exploded forth into every possibility that it could become. And it sent forth source souls with which to experience itself through. And all of us are parts of that source soul. And that not only includes humans, it includes off-world cultures, it includes everything and absolutely everything that is in existence. The trees, the rocks, the birds, the animals.
All that is, hence the name All That Is.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And the source is experiencing self-actualization through us. It is experiencing everything through us and everything through everything that exists. And what our guides tell us is that our universe will never shrink, because the answer to what the source can become is infinite. And it is constantly expanding. New worlds are constantly being created. New dimensions are constantly being created. New probabilities are constantly being created, because what the source can be is infinite possibility. And as a result of that, our universe will never shrink. It will continue to expand as the possibilities of what the source can become continue to grow and expand. So it's really quite fascinating concept.
Did the guides talk to you anything about living in different dimensions at the same time?
Yeah, well, they talked about probable realities. And what they tell us is that we not only experience this particular lifetime in this dimension, in this reality, but there are portions of our soul that is experiencing, or that are experiencing, many other probabilities. So, although, you know, I in this lifetime, and Tina and I wrote a book, in another probability, which does exist, I may be a musician, I may be a doctor. Every single probability that could possibly exist does exist in another dimension. And this is something that quantum physicists, quantum scientists are discovering as well. I recently saw a documentary on this where we had scientists talking about what they call parallel lives and parallel realities. And they say it's not a matter of whether or not these realities exist. It's a matter of how many of them are there out there. And what our guides tell us is that there are an infinite number of these probabilities that exist. And the probability that we are specifically focused on in this lifetime is the one that we have drawn to ourselves through magnetism. And we can actually communicate with other probable selves out there. If there is a successful probable self out there, say someone wanted to be a writer, say someone wanted to be a doctor, they can communicate with their probable self that is playing out that role. And they can ask the probable self to help them draw that reality towards them in this specific reality that they're focused in. So the book goes into that quite a bit on a chapter called Alternate Realities, and it's a very fascinating one, and we're just sort of, you know, glimpsing over it right now, but there's a lot in there.
Yeah, and a Book of Insight also gives us a lot of exercises that we can engage in to help us with regards to changing our belief systems, attracting new realities, attracting that probable reality that we would love to live out. So it's quite a wonderful guide, and it's also chock full of knowledge that's just amazing. I mean, we're still blown away by this book.
It's good. Okay, we're almost out of time, but one another time right now, give out your website again.
All right. Our website is abookofinsight.com. And once again, all copies are signed by Tina and myself. And we're also available through Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com as well.
And also for those of you that are in Europe, it's Amazon.co.uk, and Canada is Amazon.ca.
Great. Now we have about 3 minutes left. So in this 3 minutes, first I want to say thank you for being on the show in case we run out of time. But can you just tell us, the last chapter in your book talks about the future. Could you just explain it briefly, please?
Wow, that's an awesome chapter. Well, what they tell us is that mankind is at a crossroads in his destiny, and they tell us that there's much excitement among those of us who have journeyed in this new world. Now, what they also warn us about is the planet cannot sustain us any longer, and that we have to wake up and we have to make a difference. They also warn us that we are being manipulated by our corporations, that we need to make our life count, and we need to make the future generations count. And we can do this now. We can do this by beginning to awaken, and we can also remember that we have the power, and that power is in the dollar that we spend. So spend your dollars wisely. For instance, buy organic instead of buying chemically laden foods in order to purify our bodies. We need to recycle. We need to really pay respect to our planet, because our planet is alive.
Start planting gardens. That's another thing our guides talk about, is that we've forgotten that food is meant to be free. It grows abundantly on the planet. If you have a bit of land, grow a garden. Get back in touch with Mother Nature. If you don't have any land, we see community gardens sprouting up everywhere now. Once we get back in touch with nature, we'll start to respect nature, and we'll start to respect the planet. But so many of us have lost touch with that.
Yeah. And what our guides want us to know is that our spiritual awakening will assist us in understanding the interconnectedness of all that is and all that exists within all that is. And it will allow us to realize that we are all one, that we are all brothers and sisters. And once we realize that we are all brothers and sisters, there will be no more need for war, no more need for hatred, because we are all of the same energy unit, and we are all related, and we should all really love each other.
Which I think that is one of the most important things that they could get us to understand.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. We're in this together, and we have to look at each other as brothers and sisters of the same family. God has no color. God has no religion. God just simply is all of us.
Which is great. And the name of the book is A Book of Insight, and the website is abookofinsight.com. Ladies, thank you for being on the show. It was a pleasure. You gave a lot of very good information out to the listeners. I hope they enjoyed it as much as I did.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having us, Nancy.
Thank you, and thank you to your listeners.
You're very welcome. I'd like to thank all the listeners. May God bless all of you. Have a great week. Get the book. Read it. Learn from it. Help yourselves get through all of this. Take care. We'll talk next week. Bye now.